Chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We started last week on Lot's journey to Sodom. I want to continue with this because we're not preaching to the world out there. We're not preaching to sinners, but we're talking about the effect of iniquity abounding has upon a lukewarm church, or a church, or a Christian, or a family that tries to live at a halfway house. It is very dangerous. I cannot emphasize it strongly enough. For you to settle down into a half-baked Christianity, that is the most dangerous place. It isn't more dangerous to be a sinner. A sinner can know they're a sinner, and they're in a healthier place than the Christian who settles down into a halfway house. Let's read from Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. And Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with them, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there not be strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. What a terrible sentence. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And notice this last line. And built there an altar unto the Lord. Father, again, as we come to a crisis hour in our nation, as we see what's happening on the streets of our city, as we see the very mind and the heart and the spirit of the Irish people going in a direction that's going to be detrimental to the next generation, as we see them sowing the wind, and Lord God, waiting on the whirlwind coming back in this nation, we stand before you and we are asking for a spiritual revival in your church. My God, we have no hope in the governments of this nation. We've got no hope in politics, but my God, we do serve a God that's able to change a nation within a week. My God, you're able to shake a land. You're able to march through the midst of it. You're able to pour out your Holy Spirit. And my God, all the more as we see iniquity abounding, we are praying for a revival, Lord God, the likes of which this nation has never known. in the entirety of its history. If the enemy is coming in like a flood, if he's coming in a greater and a darker way than ever in all of history, then we are asking you for a great revival. We are asking that you rescue us, you revive us, that you strengthen us, that you renew us in Jesus' name, that your name alone might be glorified in this hour. We give you praise and honor, even in gathering around your word, being able to come and to drink. We worship you, we bless you, that you are the God of our salvation, and we shall magnify you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, we're dealing with Lot's journey to Sodom. Lot's journey to Sodom. In this chapter 13 that we have just read from, we begin to see the separation between Abram, a man of God, and Lot, his nephew, who also knew God. Both these men were righteous. Both these men were on their way to heaven. But both these men did not think the same, act the same, make the same decisions, or walk in the same pathway. They both knew the righteousness of God, the free grace of God, the mercy, the love, the grace, and the fellowship of God, but one allowed that to radically affect him, and the other one set it aside as a part-time job. What a dangerous thing when we know the grace of God, but we hold it at arm's length. What a terrible thing when we know the truth of God, but we mix it with our own reasoning. That is a dangerous thing, saints. I don't care if I'm well known in this generation. I don't care if I'm famous, but I do want to walk with the Lord. If there's one thing I desire, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I can't decide for everybody in this church. I can't persuade everyone who walks in this door, but I am going to make a stand clear. I'm going to show men the way to heaven, and I'm going to warn them about the way to hell. I'm going to warn every Christian about a halfway house, about the consequences of dabbling in things that do affect their spiritual life. You see, here as we begin to read this chapter, in verse 1 of chapter 13, we actually read that Abraham, all his family, all his belongings, and Lot came from Egypt. Men of God do make mistakes. Men of God do make wrong decisions along the way. But I want to show you, a real man of God, a real Christian, will always come right back again. You may have taken a wrong decision yesterday. You may have done something last year. But I want to assure you that a man of God, a woman of God, and by that I mean a real Christian, they know how to get back again. In their heart of hearts, they know all it is to come back to the altar of God again. We read at the beginning of this chapter that Abraham came back to the land. He'd been in Egypt, but he got right back to the land again. He got away from the altar of prayer. And if you ever get away from that altar of prayer, you will go to Egypt. You'll make decisions. You'll justify things that you said, I would never do. I wouldn't go there. Yes, you would. If you get away from that altar of prayer, when you begin to neglect the altar of prayer, even Abraham began to descend into Egypt. We are told they all went down into Egypt, that they all came back up out of Egypt, and the first thing that Abraham done was went back to the altar again. He didn't have to rebuild it. It was still there. It was there, the same place. The altar didn't move. Abraham moved. But when he came back into the land, he went right back to where he was, and he began to call upon the Lord again. Do you know this morning, if you've lost ground, if you've made decisions, if you've made mistakes along the way, I want to show you this morning, you come back right again. You come back to that altar and you start anew as if you'd never made a mistake. You don't worry about the past. Don't get all condemned about Egypt. You come back and you repent for your sins. You come back to that altar of prayer. You come right back to where you began again, to that place where your tent used to be. Saints, that is the way back. I don't have some strategy. It's not down to psychology. It's not down to a thousand things. If you want to get right back to the very heart of God, to the place of prayer, you can do it right here this morning. You don't need to wait to the end of the preaching. You don't need to wait until you go home tonight. Right here in the midst, you say, Lord, I'm coming back. I want to start again. What I've neglected, I will establish again. If you've left that prayer altar, get back to it again. We have heard so many times people say, I pray 5 minutes in the car. That isn't prayer. That isn't a quiet time with the Lord. You'll never have an experience with the Lord where you grab 5 minutes and say, there, I've done it. That is not a prayer time. It is a coming back to seek the face of God again. But let's notice here in this chapter 13 what happened. It says that Abraham went right back to that old-fashioned altar prayer. You see, Abraham knew that's where life is. That's how you walk with God. That's how you keep your home right. That's how you keep your life and your mind and your heart right. If you want to walk with God, you better have an altar of prayer. If you don't have an altar of prayer, and by an altar of prayer, I mean somewhere where you speak to God. God speaks to you in a place where daily you lay down your life and say, Lord, as for me, I want you to be in control of my life. But notice in this same chapter, you have Lot separating from Abraham. Here you have Abraham going back to the old altar. But at that very stage, although Lot is with him, Lot does not go back to the altar of prayer again. He is where Abraham is. He gathers in the same meetings. He may even be in the same prayer meeting. But he has not gone back to that old-fashioned altar of prayer again. We read of the direction of these two men as they separate. One man goes on with God. One man moves towards Sodom. One man begins a journey towards Sodom, but he never thought he would end up in Sodom. If you would have asked Lot, where are you going? Are you going to Sodom? He would have said, no, sir. No, sir. I would never enter the gates of Sodom. I would never take my family into Sodom. I want to tell you, little decisions, little deviations from truth, little movings away from the real will end you up in Sodom and Gomorrah. You may with a vow this morning say, I would never enter Sodom's gates. I want to assure you, it's not the decision to go to Sodom. No, Lot didn't make a decision to go to Sodom. He made other decisions that affected him in such a way. In this chapter 13, after Lot separates from Abraham, listen to what it says in verse 18. It says, then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And he built there an altar unto the Lord. Here is Lot moving towards Sodom. Abraham isn't just staying where he is. As he sees Lot move in that direction, he says, I want to go deeper, Lord. This scares me. He wasn't criticizing Lot. He wasn't laughing at him. He wasn't making light of him. What it does in his own heart, he says, oh God, help me. I know what's in this flesh. I know what could come into this heart. I know the thoughts that can pass this mind. I want to go deeper with you. Do you know what he does? He begins to move towards Hebron. Hebron was one of the highest places in the land of Israel. He's going higher. Lot is going down to the plain. Abram is going on to the place of covenant. Hebron is the place of covenant, intimate relationship with God. This is what he's desiring. He says, you keep the world, you take what you want. I want a real relationship with God. I don't care about the things of this world. I don't care if my kids aren't educated. I don't care if I don't have the best job in Limerick. What I do care about is a covenant relationship with God. And if I sacrifice that for anything in this world, I'm lost. I'm lost. There's consequence. A man of God moving towards Hebron, but another man who's righteous on his way to heaven sets his tent towards Sodom. How could it be that a righteous man on his way to heaven would set his house towards such a wicked place? city as Sodom. And yet this chapter tells us about it. Here in this verse it says that Lot separated himself from Abram and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot actually found a halfway place between the extremism of Abraham. I wonder if as he moved away with all his men, he says, do you know, you need to understand something about Abraham. We don't need to be that narrow. There's an extremism with him. We don't all see things as Abraham sees things. You know, Abraham's a bit too spiritually minded for practical good. He lives a bit up there in the realms of Hebron. But you need to understand, we live in a real world, in a real workplace, in a real family. We've got to be able to identify with people. We can't look strange. We can't live this other strange Christian life. We've got to be there. We've got to drink a beer with them. We've got to sit and curse with them. We've got to laugh at their foolish jokes in the workplace. You just need to understand, Abraham is a bit extremist. I want to tell you, there was a thinking come into Lot that he took the religion of Abraham lightly. While Lot thought he was moving to a halfway house, it was a lot more than that. It actually says that he dwelled on the plains in the midst of cities. He's still living in a tent, isn't he? He's still got his tent. He still believes in God. He's still got his righteousness. His name is still in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you telling me that I can't pitch my tent in a plain? That I can't live here amongst people? That I can't identify with them and make decisions for my family and for my life? Are you telling me I can't do that and yet still go to heaven? You see, Lot set himself towards the plain. And actually says he dwelled in the plain. The word dwelled means to settle down or to sit yourself down or to marry or to make your home there. Here he is. He is at a halfway place. Oh, he hasn't gone to Sodom. He's not even three quarters there. He's at a halfway house. He's as far away from Abraham as he is Sodom. I'm just trying to live my Christian life in this world. There were things going on in Lot that he little realized himself, but they were carrying him in a direction. Can I ask every one of you, what direction are you going in? I'm not asking where you are at the minute. I'm just saying, where are you going? You could be right outside of Abraham's tent, but yet you're walking in a certain direction. You might be at the gates of Sodom, but you're looking to walk towards where Abraham is. I'm asking, where are you going? Not where you are this morning. Not where you are spiritually, whether at the gate of Sodom or at the gate of Abraham's tent. I'm saying, where are you going? Where's your destiny? What is it you desire? Do you want to live so close to the world that you can enjoy everything of this world and yet have everything of the kingdom of God? You'll never enjoy it. You cannot enjoy it. This doesn't mix together. You can't have both. Men who walk down the middle of the road get knocked down. I said it last week. Men who try to sit in fences fall off. It always happens. Those who try to mix the real with the false, the world with the church, there is always a problem. And yet we find Lot at a halfway house. Oh, he's not in Sodom. He doesn't even want to go there. He doesn't even desire to go there. All he's doing is he's made his home on the plains in the midst of the cities. There were five cities, great cities, in that plain of the Jordan. This is actually at the bottom of the Dead Sea. They actually say now that Sodom and Gomorrah is under the Dead Sea. They say all the remnants of it is there. It is destroyed. It is gone. It is finito. It doesn't exist in our world today. But here is a man who actually chose to build his home in this environment, a halfway house. He certainly wasn't making a decision for his spiritual good. He had other thoughts in his mind. I'm thinking about education. I'm thinking about home life. I'm thinking about social things. I'm thinking about my job. I'm thinking about my house. I'm thinking about all the practical things of life. Are these things sinful? No. But they are when you put them before God. When you make decisions on the basis of all those things. And all of them are okay, aren't they? Every single one of them are just fine. It's okay to have a house. It's okay to live in a city. It's okay to go to school. It's okay to have a workplace or to go play tennis, golf, or whatever your thing is. That's fine. But I want to assure you, when those natural, normal, nominal things, you begin to put them a step before Christ, you're in trouble. Those nominal things will take you in a direction you never thought that would go. We don't read of Lot desiring homosexuality. We don't desire him looking for a place where there's prostitution. We don't see him going to red light districts. We don't see him sitting down and longing for an immoral society. We don't see him looking free of the restraint of holiness. None of that. His only concern is practical, normal, healthy life. These are all of his thoughts. He wasn't seeking after sin. He wasn't seeking to live in an immoral society. He just wanted freedom to make his decisions. You see, this city of Sodom, and it does say that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's in the middle of five great cities. Why pick that city? I believe it was the most industrial. I believe it was the richest. I believe it was the biggest. I believe it provided much opportunity for trade. I believe education was greater in Sodom than in Gomorrah. And they're two different cities. I believe the colleges and universities were far better in Sodom. I believe they offered you the latest technology. I believe they offered you the latest teaching, the greatest sports, the greatest opportunities, the greatest social clubs, the greatest fun, and none of it was sinful necessarily. But I want to assure you, to pitch your tent towards that, you better know what is in Sodom. And Lot did. Lot knew that in behind that was an immoral society. Who was it presenting all of this? An immoral society. A wicked heart and a corrupt mind. That is who was presenting it. I would rather be on the hill of Hebron with my uncle in a prayer meeting than in the greatest city of this generation. It actually says in Revelation chapter 18, come out from amongst her. It's talking about the city of Babylon, which will be rebuilt in the last days. It's going to be the center of economics. It's going to be the center of pleasure. It's going to be the center of politics. It is going to be the cosmopolitan city of the world. It is a secular city. It is a political city. Not a religious system, it is a natural city in the last days. What does the Spirit of God say? Come out from her. Come out from the midst of that city. There is going to come a cosmopolitan city in the last days. And the Spirit of God will say, don't you stay there. He wasn't talking to the Catholic Church. He was talking about the cutting edge technology. When they'll have everything that this generation provides. Here's Lot setting his tent towards Sodom. I haven't gone in its gate yet. I don't desire its sin. All I'm doing is setting my tent towards it. I still live in a tent. I haven't moved into a city. I'm not living in a house. I'm living in a tent like I always have done. 20 years I walked with Abraham. Living in a tent. I haven't changed my ways. I am just the same man. I still have my family in my tent. We still say morning prayers together. Here we are, talking about Jesus at the table. But what direction are you moving in? Yeah, is the influence of your life turning you towards Hebron? Are you being turned towards Sodom? You see, I believe Lot is a type of the church, or a type of family within the church. I believe there is a Lot church and saved on its way to heaven. The members are born again, but that church has moved to a halfway point. They're halfway between the extremism, they think, of Abraham and the absolute depravity of Sodom. They are in the world, but they're not of the world. And I want to remind you, Lot was not a sinner. Lot was not an immoral man. Lot was not sneaking off to get drunk once a week. Lot was not involved in the immorality of this generation. All of his thinking was secular. What was it affected him? It was Sodom. You see, I believe in this generation, like in the days of Sodom, it was the devil who poured filth into Sodom. I believe Sodom became the very basin of Satan's vomit. I believe the devil himself was pouring into Sodom such a depth of iniquity and depravity that Lot actually felt good about his religion and his halfway house. I believe in the church of our day that casual things of immorality are thought nothing when we look at the world out there. The world has become so depraved that we don't see even wearing the wrong bit of dress is wrong anymore in the church. We don't get embarrassed about acting or speaking in a way that 100 years ago was not acceptable in the church. We look at the world and we say, we're not like that. I would never want that. I'm not going to sleep in a bed with a homosexual man. That would never come near me. But I want to tell you, that can be the very means of extremism and depravity in the world. It makes you to settle at a halfway house of accepting many things that are utterly wrong. You see, the Lot Church is established at a halfway church. Its front door is open towards Sodom. It's not rejecting the pleasures of Sodom. There's much good in Sodom. There's much we can learn from Sodom. But we have lost the ability to discern that you can gain this whole world and yet lose your soul. We've lost it in the church of our day. We've lost it, church. And I tell you, any man or any woman who loses the reality that we can gain everything of this world, I mean everything as a believer, and you can lose your soul. The Lot Church is halfway between Sodom and the home of Abraham. I want you to notice very clearly how you get to that point. How do you get to a halfway point where you think Abraham is an extremist and Sodom doesn't look that bad? After all, I'm not partaking of its sin. How do you get to that point? First of all, we see it with Lot. First of all, he's separated from godly fellowship. He removed from his life, his personal fellowship, those who would encourage him, pray for him, and strengthen him. He removed from his personal environment those who were a restraining force on his life. If a man or woman is going to restrain me or urge me to walk with God, I want them in my life. I want that influence. I've watched people walk out of churches saying the preaching's too much. I want a softer religion, a softer Christianity. I want to tell you, they end up in Lot's church. They are being carried in a direction. They say, but we're not in Sodom. We don't believe in homosexuality. We are righteous. We believe in Christ. Yes, but you're moving in a certain direction. And it all began with separation from godly fellowship. You separated yourself from godly holy influence. Second of all, we read that Lot left the altar. That altar of prayer. That old-fashioned altar. Well, we have a new contemporary Christianity based around worship. I get all my feelings, I get all my stirrings out of worship. I don't need an old-fashioned altar of prayer. Then you're Lot at best, at the very best. If you don't have an altar, you will move towards Sodom. The only thing that stops you moving towards Sodom or settling in a halfway house is an old-fashioned altar of prayer. A place where you in the morning, I don't want to speak to Candace in the mornings. Ask her. I've got no interest in sitting for an hour with her in the morning. I'd stay in bed if I was going to do that and wake her up at 9. She can tell you, I want to be alone with God. I need to be alone with God. I want to cry out to him. I want to ask him to help me. I need to be with him. I want to think as he thinks. I need that altar of prayer where it's him and me and I'm meeting alone with him. Do you know, Lot moved out the altar and he began to move. Women have often said, they said, I'm going to marry him and I'll alter him at the altar. No, he will alter your whole way of thinking, your life. You think you're going to alter him, he will alter you. What he is before you marry him, he'll be far worse after you marry him. What you see is the best before marriage.
Yeah.
Anyone want to say amen?
Amen.
You start seeing a lot of things after marriage. If you're concerned before marriage, you're going to get very worried after marriage. You will have the greatest and most spectacular display before marriage. But when you get within marriage, you'll begin to see all that is there. What Lot done was move the altar out, and his tent began to move towards Sodom. He's still living in a tent, isn't he?
Yeah.
What does the tent represent? In the Bible, the tent represents that we are strangers and pilgrims in this life. That I'm on my way to heaven. That we're only here for a short time. That this world is not my world. That's what the tent represents. Here's Lot still saying, this is not my home. I'm not living for this life. But I'm just neglecting prayer. I've removed myself from extreme Christianity. I know that there's much we can be involved with in Sodom and still not sin. I'm absolutely assured. You see, Lot was very bold in his profession, but a day would come when all that would go. You see, he's proud today, but he won't be proud tomorrow. He is moving in a serious direction that's going to impact his whole family. I want you to notice here that he moved away from godly fellowship. He moved away from the altar. He then was in the tent moving towards Sodom. Do you realize when you begin to move, you lose a lot? He lost his vision, didn't he? Do you remember when he looked up? And he's seen the splendor of that area that he came to settle in. Here he was. Listen to what he actually says. That he lifted up his eyes. You better be careful about your eyes. Because wherever you begin to look, that's where you're going.
Yes.
See the things in your heart that you're longing for and desiring. Now Lord, if I could only have this. Well, she's a little girl. I'm sure she's religious. She's not saved. But you know, I could make her that. You better be careful.
Yeah, amen.
There are a thousand things like that that begin to come in around. It says Lot lifted up his eyes to all the plain of Jordan. Notice he looked on it before he went there, didn't he? How do you get to this half-baked Christianity? That's where you're looking. You start entertaining thoughts going, I'm sure it can be easier than this. I'm tired of the narrowness of this. I'm tired of the rebuke or the correction or the challenge of the preaching. If you're growing weary in those things, and I'm not talking about a passing thought because we all have it. Sometimes I don't want to come back here. But I want to tell you, when God is working in your heart, and you begin to go, I just want to be like everyone else. I want to be like the denominations. I want to be like the churches. Why can't we have party nights? When all of that starts coming in, I know where you're going.
Yes.
This becomes into your heart. I'm not talking about a temptation or a passing thought. This fills your heart. Every week you're going, not another sermon. Not more worship. Not an expectation to pray or to lay my life down. I am tired of it. Then you're moving.
Yeah.
You better get back to reality again. You see, Lot began to look, and where he was looking, he's going to eventually end up. He actually says, as he looks down there, he says two things. He says, it looks like the garden of the Lord. What was the garden of the Lord? It was a place of fellowship with God himself. It was communion with God. It looks like the Garden of Eden. Look at it. You ever look at other churches or movements or things going and going, have we got it right? I mean, they all seem to be having so much fun. That can be an utter deception. I have been in and out of these churches for years. You have in the church immorality, broken marriages, hypocrisy, game plan. You have 1,000 sins under the grace message. There is such a thing as called the preaching of grace in this hour. It looks like wonderful fellowship with the Lord. I don't need a walk with Abraham, but I can have the garden of the Lord. I don't need to stay in Abraham's tent in order to have this sweet communion with the Lord where it's all grace, all love, and all mercy. I can enjoy those things. I don't need to be in Abraham's tent to enjoy those things. Oh, how subtle the devil is. Do you know what starts happening? The effect of Sodom is having an effect on Lot.
Yeah.
He settles down halfway because he thinks, I can have fellowship with God. I don't need extremism. I don't need to be narrow. I can have all the blessings of God, but I can also pitch my tent towards Sodom. He also says that this land looked like the land of Egypt. Where had they been in chapter 12? In Egypt. Remember, that was the mistake. Abraham had taken them down there. They went to Egypt. What is Egypt? A picture of the world. Everything, the splendor of the world. The education of the world. The military power of the world. It is the embodiment of the best of the world.
Yeah.
And he tasted of it. You better be careful. The things that you see in this life's journey, whether it's in a job or a relationship or anything else, I don't care what it is, even in the Christian life, and you begin to say, that's marked me. You better deal with that in your heart before the Word of God, or it begins to affect you. Will you desire all of these things? What we see is Lot at a halfway house. He settles down. His family is there. We're still in a tent. We're still mobile. I'm not settled here. Yes, but you have lost your prayer altar. Here you are moving towards Sodom. Saints, you're in a dangerous place when spiritual life goes down and yet you're moving in a direction. The things of this world are affecting you. Do you realize we're at the most dangerous time in the history of this nation? Promiscuity and immorality is abounding on the left and the right. The television, the internet has become a sewer of Satan. All of it is being poured out. You cannot watch adverts on our television without closing your eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't bother me. Then you're blind. Mm. The first thing that happened to Lot, he lost his vision. He lost his vision of God, of the land. He had no desire for the promised land anymore, did he?
Yeah.
Remember, this is the land that God had given them all through the years, talking about this land. But he was there. Oh, I've tried it. Oh, I've been there. I know all about it. No, you don't.
Yeah.
If you're willing to move away from what God has told you to be, you're in a dangerous position. Oh, but I don't see anything wrong with all of these things. It's your blind. You've lost your sensitivity. There's things which are immoral and you have no problem with. What we heard this morning about the fear of God. We don't even get gripped by the fear of God anymore. Men who don't even know how to turn their eyes away on the street anymore. We need this back in the church. We're talking about basic Christianity. We need women in the church who get embarrassed again. Their cheeks know how to go red. We've lost it from the church of our generation. Oh, but we're not Sodomites. I tell you, it's affecting you. It's affecting you. Do you realize the effect that the sodomy that's flooding into Ireland is having upon your life? You better keep that altar of prayer. You better stay in that tent of consecration. We are moving in some direction. We better make sure that we're moving in the right direction. I'm dealing with Lot's journey towards Sodom. Here he is in this message. He's settled halfway. He's happy. He's content. There's no signs of worry. Sodom isn't in his tent. It's just he's living his life. But oh, that he'd listened to the warnings of Abraham. Oh, that he'd gone to Hebron. Oh, that he'd gone onto higher ground rather than justifying his conscience and coming down. This man lost not only his vision, he lost his convictions. As I close here, listen to me very carefully. I am talking about real born again Christians. Lot was not immoral. He was not unholy. He wasn't a rebel against God. He was just compromising. He had found a halfway house. He not only lost his vision of God, he lost his convictions. 10 years ago, he would never left Abraham. 10 years ago, he wouldn't have come down to this plane. But why is he doing it now? Why is it that a Christian can begin to change? And I've watched it. Friends I had 10 years ago who said I would never do that. That's where they are this morning. I can't even fellowship with them. And I tell you what, I didn't move. I haven't changed my convictions. I haven't changed those convictions because they're birthed out of the written scriptures. I don't want to change my holy convictions. If they're in the Bible, I want to keep them. But I've watched many Christians slowly metamorphose over a 10-year period until they become an enemy of truth. Lot also lost his wisdom. And he also lost his ability to choose right. Please stand with me here this morning. We're talking about something so serious because this nation, we are now pitched before Sodom. Sodom is coming to this nation of Ireland like it never has in its history. Immorality will come onto our streets like it never has. It's going to break in our schools. The children in our primary schools in this nation are now going to be taught that you can have two mommies or two daddies. You are actually going to come under great pressure to hold back your convictions, to back off a little. You still say, but I'm holy. I want Jesus. I believe the Bible. But watch this church of this generation in Ireland as it begins to back off from its extremism that it would have if it stood on Mount Hebron. Let's pray together. We need the Lord. Where are you going? Where is your tent pitched? What are you looking at? What are you feeding yourself with? What direction are you going on? Is that Sodomite world affecting you? Is it undermining your holiness and your righteousness? Are you backing off from the strength of your conviction? I'm going to tell you, in this hour, now is the time for us to get militant. Now is the time for you to become a militant Christian. It is time for revival. I need more of God because there's more of the devil in this world. There's more sin abounding on our streets. Therefore, I need more of Him. Let's pray. Let's call upon Him. Saints, you need Him this morning. Saints, you need a fresh meeting with Him. Like Abraham of old, you might have been in Egypt. Let's come back to the altar this morning. Let's come back and build that altar again. Before you go to bed tonight, seek Him with all of your heart. Ask Him to help you again. We need a revival in this church. We need a moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm not satisfied with a halfway house. This is a devilish hour. This is an hour where sodomy is abounding on the left and the right. There's actually no restriction in our society anymore. Ireland in a few weeks has been captured by a spirit of dogmatism for sin, defending sin, attacking righteousness. We are watching it within a 2-week period begin to rise. Saints, it's time for us to be dogmatic. It's time for us to be narrow. It is time for us to hold the truth of God and to refuse to compromise. Because we are going to see God move in this hour, in this generation. If you have pitched your tent towards Sodom, you better pack your bags and get back to Hebron. I'm calling you individually by the Spirit of God to begin packing up, to turn your tent towards Hebron, to begin moving back. It doesn't happen in one day or 1 week. You're going to have to make that journey back. Begin to lead back the herdmen, your family, your wife, your children. All of these things. Lord Jesus, we need you this morning. My God, we see the iniquity. We feel the iniquity around us abounding. But my God, we want to make a journey with Abraham to Hebron. I'm asking that you'd open our eyes. We want a heavenly vision of what you promised us. I'm asking, oh God, that you birth within the hearts of what it is to walk with God. I don't want to dwell on the plains with the Sodomites. I want to walk where Abraham walked, the father of our faith, the man who walked in faith with you. Lord God, draw our hearts this morning. Do something in our hearts and our minds, O God. Make us, O God, to burn with a fire. My God, lead us to Bethel again. Lead us to Hebron again. Lead us back to the altar again. Keep us in that tent as pilgrims, strangers in this world. My God, I don't want to pitch my tent in this world. Nor, God, I don't want to be set towards the things of this world. In Jesus' name, we love you, O God.